It's V Week, and during these challenging times, ESPN and the V Foundation's fight against cancer has not stopped. If you are able, please support cancer research by visiting v.org/donate. 100% of what you give goes to cancer research.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
All my bets were safe. There just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome back to another episode of Behind the Bets with Doug Zarian, presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app. No Thursday night football, so I hope we have some latitude here, posting a little late in the day here, sort of absorbing yesterday's Ravens-Steelers game and turning the page to the next weekend. So John Murray, Mr. Executive Director, will be joining us in a little bit. Also, a couple appearances from some familiar ESPN names. Mike Tannenbaum, you know him from front office work throughout the NFL, but also on the ESPN airwaves. Love picking Mike's brain when I'm on the ESPN campus. So he'll join us. I ask him some questions about this weekend's card. And also Anita Marks, who you've heard here on the podcast. You see her on TV. You hear her on radio. She's everywhere. So she's going to join me. Give some prop bets or at least some early sort of opinions going into the weekend as the prop numbers get posted. But a lot of fun stuff. As I've mentioned before, we're kind of evolving the podcast, trying to get more voices, more picks, more just insight and opinion. So a lot of fun coming up. And we'll start with Mr. Executive Director.
He started as a ticket writer.
Well, the handle has gotten a lot higher here in the last hour.
Now he's a race and sportsbook director.
I have the guys at work here calling me Mr. Director and not looking directly into my eyes.
With people.
Brought in a whole new staff this year. It's kind of a Seinfeld-esque move where we just rotate the guys so the material doesn't get stale, Doug.
What happened in between? A hot tub and ESPN.
Kicking is for losers.
What a unique week in football, but then again, it is 2020, so we are adjusting to all the curveballs that are thrown our way as we welcome in Mr. Executive Director, John Murray. Good to be with you again, my friend.
Good to be here. It was strange. It was strange having a game like Baltimore-Pittsburgh yesterday where it was ending all the Moneyline parlays from week 12 and then beginning the Moneyline parlays for week 13. a very strange game. We could have won a lot of money if Baltimore had somehow figured out a way to win that game, but that was not meant to be.
Well, that's interesting. So recapping last week, because you guys have house rules that all tickets, the people that bet that Thanksgiving game, I don't know, -4, -4.5, they were live. So the fine print on your rules is all tickets are good.
You know, we hate refunding bets, man. It's like that's the last thing we want to do is refund bets. So we got together in the summer. We recognized that there was going to be probably games that get moved around this season in the NFL. Honestly, I thought there was going to be more of that than we've had, but there's been some of it. So we put a rule in there that said all NFL game bets at the Westgate Superbook are action as long as they're played by August 1st of next year. We wanted to put a date on there that was so far in the future that it would result in almost no refunds, hopefully, right? And so far, that's been the case. So you didn't have to take a refund on your Bonanza pick, man. That was very generous of you. I don't know if you did that because you felt sorry for me or what that was. Or
some
pity move.
Well, some books do have the fine print where it has to be played that day, right? So, like the Broncos game, the Broncos Saints line that moved because of all the quarterbacks, like everyone had a live ticket on that. So, but this game, now other books have has to be played within 7 or 8 days. So that was within the number. So there's people out there with +4 that just hated life, right? Or 4.5 that betted in advance. But there were cancellations of bets at other sports books. So because of that, that's why I decided to punt. Didn't want to win on a technicality. So we just moved it. We decided before. But it's interesting. So you're saying you have a bunch of big bets going into the weekend from last weekend. Going into this weekend because you get like, oh, it's a free money line, bingo square, if you will.
Well, we got all the Moneyline parlays that would normally have closed with Seattle going to this game that was going to be Tuesday that eventually was Wednesday. And then we've got guys starting their teasers and Moneyline parlays for this coming week, the week that we're about to discuss, and they were starting it with a Wednesday game instead of a Thursday game, starting it with the Steelers. So there was a ton of action on Pittsburgh, Moneyline, teasers, they got it done. It wasn't pretty, but they did manage to get it done.
The first Wednesday game in the NFL in 8 years. And you mentioned the Seahawks game, and what an ending for the closing number of 6.5. Now, we locked in 5.5, and it was 6, but I believe it moved to 6.5 late Sunday night here in Las Vegas. So the people who starting their parlays with not money line, but just the -6.5, that's about as bad of a beat. And I had a tweet before the drive that took off. It was 14 when they kicked the field goal to make it from 11 to 14. I said, hold on, guys, you're not in the clear. Yep. This Philly team is the one that definitely goes for two when they score a touchdown to move it from 14 to 8. And sure enough, they did go for two and convert.
That's about as bad of a backdoor cover as you could ever have, where they score the touchdown, somewhat of a fortunate touchdown. They go for two. Great call by you, knowing that they would correctly go for two, which they did. And then they get the two-point conversion. But, you know, I know people out there are going to say, oh, well, yeah, a sharp person would have never laid 6.5, which is true. But still, at the end of the day, if you laid 6.5, that sucks. That's really about does. As bad of a backdoor as you can find.
And sometimes there's pick'em leagues and things like that. You can't – Joe Fortenbaugh and I had to tape a segment for SportsCenter. We used 6.5 because when we taped it. Now, I talked about it all week, and case in point, I did it on the Bonanza. But sometimes, we had to do picks for ESPN.com with the line of 6.5. And so we got burned on that front. It's not like we're sitting there like, whoa, buy it 5.5 4 days ago. No, it posts Monday. You have to kind of advise the readers the current number. Right. Let's turn the page here. We got some interesting games coming up. I want to start with the marquee games. And the Titans hosting the Browns, a little trash talking between the two teams. Browns have been a sneaky, decent team this year, but they have failed to cover in 5 of the last 6. So again, the number they haven't been covering, but they're getting the wins, which is not something Cleveland's been used to over the years. The Titans off an impressive beatdown in Indianapolis. What are you seeing here?
The Titans off 2 great wins, beating Baltimore, beating Indianapolis. They were a team I think a lot of us left for dead as far as a Super Bowl contender. And now all of a sudden, they look like they're right there behind the big two in the AFC, Pittsburgh and Kansas City. But the public is definitely betting on the Titans. They're back in the Titans pretty big here. We've already moved from Tennessee 4 to Tennessee 5.5. It's about a 3-to-1 ticket count on the Titans. That's tightened a little bit in the last 24 hours. Earlier in the week, it was more like a 6-to-1 ticket count. We are finally seeing some money on Cleveland at this number of 5.5. But early on, it was nothing but Titans money. One of the better morning games this Sunday.
53.5 feels high for two teams that like to run the ball, but then again, they do have explosive wide receivers and interesting. I'm surprised the ticket count's that high, but obviously.
I agree. It speaks to how fickle the betting public is in the NFL. They saw Tennessee crush Indianapolis last Sunday in a very impressive performance, and now they're all back in on the Tennessee Titans.
We've seen a line move through the key number of 3 here in Houston. Indy was a 2.5-point road favorite. Now it's 3.5. Fuller suspended, so no, he's not there. Brandon Cook's the go-to guy for Deshaun Watson. But Indy's the only side I would play, but it's a tough to back Rivers against Deshaun Watson here. But I feel like Houston's riding a little too high right now.
A key suspension there. You mentioned it, Will Fuller. He's really established himself as the number one receiver with DeAndre Hopkins now in Arizona. Colts are very good defensively. You wouldn't know that if you only watched them play against the Titans last Sunday, but they are a very good defensive team. Just keep an eye on the injury report there for Indianapolis. You know, one of their downfall last week really was how many key defensive players they had out in that game. Okay. It sounds like they've got guys that are going to be back this week. DeForest Buckner, the defensive tackle, probably the key guy to keep an eye on. He missed last week's game with a COVID-19 protocol situation. So keep an eye on his status for Sunday.
Another marquee game on Sunday in Arizona. There's also a Monday night in Arizona. Rams at Cardinals. I'm surprised the Rams are full 3 here.
Yeah, and the public is actually taking the Cardinals. You know, the Cardinals have kind of quietly been a darling of the betting public this whole year. And they're backing Arizona here. I'm not saying it's a very one-sided game, but anytime I look in the system and I see more tickets on the underdog than the favorite, I find that somewhat notable. And right now we've got about 60% of the bets on the underdog Cardinals. The Rams off of let's call it a bad performance. That's what it was against San Francisco last week. You just never know what you're going to get from Jared Goff week to week.
McVay, 12-5 ATS off an outright loss. But to your point, I would imagine the public taking the points with Arizona, just given what they last saw. Seven of the last eight Rams games have gone under. So speaking to Goff's ineptitude, the only one that went over was that Monday nighter in Tampa Bay with the impressive win. I want to know the Monday afternoon game with your Washington football team against Pittsburgh. It's another double-digit game. Pittsburgh has a chance, can kind of lay eggs here. Before we go to that, I want to hear what Mike Tomlin said following the escape of a win and a narrow victory over a depleted Baltimore team.
To be bluntly honest, man, I'm really disappointed in our performance tonight. We did enough to win, but that's all. It was really junior varsity, to be quite honest with you, and it was in all three phases.
All right, so we saw this earlier in the year, and that was when they went to Dallas and were trailing in the fourth quarter. Now it was the third straight road game, but they were huge favorites, barely got out of there with a win, and they bounced back and dropped the hammer on Cincinnati. That was the Bengals team with Joe Burrow. So I'm reluctant to think that, you know, this is going to be a repeat performance, but this is a team that has not played well as a double-digit favorite. They're only 1-7 ATS since the last couple, two and a half seasons. So I'm a little torn here, but I think you're going to get the best effort out of Pittsburgh to start.
Well, you know, Pittsburgh needs to give their best effort because it's very important that they keep winning. They've got the Kansas City Chiefs right on their heels. And there's never been a season where being the one seed is more important than it is this year. And this year, the one seed gets a bye. The two seed will have to play on wild card weekend against the seven seed. So Pittsburgh needs to stay focused here. We have them as a 7.5-point favorite against the Washington football group. And, you know, Washington's 6 extra days to prepare for this game, which is just unheard of when you're not talking about a team coming off of a bye week. Also, no Bud Dupree. He's out for the year with a torn ACL. A big loss there for the Steelers.
This number come down. You're right. I'm sorry. I kind of fell asleep at the wheel. So it's now down from the 10 that it once was. Now 7.5 or 8 in the market. And that's off the performance yesterday, the Dupree component, and then the shorter schedule, the turnaround.
It's all those things. I think the shorter schedule, the biggest thing. But yeah, Pittsburgh really didn't look that good yesterday. We've got the Steelers right. We've got the Steelers right now at 9-2 to finish the regular season 16-0, and they've got every motivation to do so. That's not always the case, you know. It's not always the case that the team really cares to go 16-0. Mm-hmm. But I think this time Pittsburgh will be motivated to do so as long as Kansas City keeps winning.
I love the halftime guy. He's back. I like that. By the way, you mentioned Washington on extended rest. This is a fun stat. Since the start of 2017, so the last few seasons, when they've had more than 6 days rest, 0-11 ATS. 0-11.
Well, that's just the sign of a well-coached football team, man. You know, 0-11 with extra days to prepare. That's some fine coaching being done in Washington.
We'll see how Rivera does in that situation. Last week, every week kind of has a different sort of theme or narrative or just flavor. Last week, it was all the teasers, right? All the, you know, you have like the Seahawks and you have the Packers at home. And then Seahawks were on the road, but you had the other road teams were like, you know, all those teams that were like six-ish, taking it down to pick, right? We had a lot of those, like the Browns, the Rams did, obviously lost outright. We only have kind of one teaser temptation, as I like to say. That would be the Raiders laying 8 at the Jets. Now, obviously, I was on the Falcons and really liked them last week just because everybody was riding high on the Raiders. Now you're going to get a very focused Raiders group, and I think it's a good spot to tease them. But then again, and we'll talk to Mike Tannenbaum coming up in a little bit, Jets are finally getting healthy. And we know the locker room doesn't want to lose every game. Frank Gore has said as much. So I wonder if it's a little trap for a team that has to go back-to-back trips to the East Coast.
Well, everybody's on the Raiders, as you can imagine, and that ticket split's only going to get wider as we get to Sunday. Right now it's about 6-1 on your Raiders at the Jets. This could be our biggest liability in the morning because all the money line parlays are going to have the Raiders in there. They have to win this game. And the Jets, there are some people that think the Jets want to lose so that they can get Trevor Lawrence. I think the Raiders are going to be a very, very popular teaser option, probably the most popular on Sunday alongside the Green Bay Packers. If you tease Green Bay down through the number of 3, really all you need them to do is beat Philadelphia, and they certainly should be able to do that.
So that's the key. The Packers is 8.5, not 9. So getting Green Bay to 2.5 at home to Philly, which is obviously a dumpster fire right now. So that's the other teaser temptation. Those two is going to be a huge one. And maybe now Pittsburgh, right?
Pittsburgh. You mentioned Absolutely. You hit it right on the head. Pittsburgh will be the other one. You can go down to 1.5. And then depending on what number you can get on the 49ers, look for the 49ers to be a pretty popular teaser option with the wise guys that can go through 3 and 7, go up through 7, and get the 49ers at +7.5 or higher. I think that'll be a pretty popular one, too, amongst the sharper players. But among the public players, it's going to be the Packers, the Raiders, and the Steelers.
Yeah, no, those are the three that you're going to get a lot of. By the way, can you guess the last time the Raiders were laying more than 7, so 7.5 or higher in terms of on the road?
Can I guess it? No, I'll guess that it was against Jacksonville. That's all I can give you.
It was week 12. I don't know the opponent. 2002, Bill Callahan's okay. First year. So they haven't been a road favorite of 7.5 or more in 18 years. Just remarkable. But the Jets, the winless Jets, bringing that out. And obviously the Raiders are playing some decent ball in the playoff hunt. Okay, I want to go to a couple other games.
I wasn't even legally allowed to – Doug, I couldn't even legally bet in 2002, man. I mean, legally, the operative word. But how could I possibly know the answer to that?
That's a fair point. But you're a connoisseur of all things betting, so I thought you might you know that.
Of course.
Okay, sure. So I want to go to a couple other games.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Bills Niners. Let's just get into it as well. The Monday Nighter, this game in Arizona because of zoning and COVID things in the NorCal area. So this home game at the Big Toaster on Monday for the Niners because Arizona is actually the actual Arizona team playing a home game on Sunday. Popular teaser. I think this Buffalo team is, you know, we've talked about it and it's there feels like there's a yeah, but because we're not ready to embrace them as the AFC East best team. But they're legit, and I don't think they're getting enough love, and I'm the biggest culprit of that.
Well, I think you're absolutely right about that. If you look at the Buffalo Bills, they're 8-3. They would be 9-2 right now if they could have knocked down a Hail Mary pass against the Arizona Cardinals in this exact stadium a couple of weeks ago. Buffalo should be 9-2, and I don't think they're getting nearly enough credit from the general public for how well they're playing. Josh Allen has emerged as a very good quarterback. Very good young quarterback. They've got weapons on offense. They've got a really good coach, good defense. What's not to like? I think this sets up to be a very good game on Monday night because the 49ers are getting healthy as well. The action's pretty even on this game. I think we'll need the 49ers, but I don't expect it to be a big, big decision. I think you're going to get money both ways on this late Monday game.
Pats, Chargers, the thing that sticks out here is the coaching matchup. We know what Anthony Lynn has done with big leads. We know what he did last weekend inside the 5, trying to run the ball without timeout. Decisions. I guess, I'm curious what the public's doing here, but it's just hard to – everything, all the check marks, if you will, are all on the Chargers' side except for head coach.
Yeah, right now it's actually very split. I mean, it's about 51% of the bets on the Chargers here. We're doing this on Thursday afternoon, so there's a long way to go. But right now it's about 51% of the money's on the, or the bets are on the Chargers. I want to say this is the biggest coaching mismatch in NFL history, but I don't know if it is. I was once at a game, Washington. We were called the Redskins at that time. And the Redskins head coach was a guy named Steve Spurrier. And the Patriots head coach was a guy named Bill Belichick. And the Redskins won that game. I was there. So are we really going to say that Lynn is a worse coach than Steve Spurrier was in the NFL? I don't know if I can get on board with that.
I'm not ready to go there either.
Me neither. No.
Spurrier
was possible, man.
He drafted all his former quarterbacks.
He was awful. He left like nobody in to pick up blitzes. So whoever the poor quarterback was just hung out to dry on every play. Like he would send every receiver out in the pass – in a passing route, and the other team would just blitz and just kill the quarterback. Poor Patrick Ramsey.
Oh, poor Patrick Ramsey is right. Speaking of quarterbacks and backups, so Drew Brees is out again. Saints got to play Denver without an actual quarterback. Now they're at Atlanta. By the way, New Orleans, 7-0 straight up and ATS without Drew Brees the last 2 years. Remember, Teddy Two Gloves did well, and Taysom Hill, 2-0. So they've done well, despite being a dog in 4 of those 7 games. This is tricky, though. Atlanta's playing much better since firing Dan Quinn. Where do you think this number closes? New Orleans is 3 currently.
Well, the public is definitely going to bet on New Orleans, but I don't think that the wise guys are going to let this line go too high because the Saints are ultimately playing with a backup quarterback in Taysom Hill. I know it doesn't seem like that. They won both games pretty easily, but mostly the defense that got them over the hump in that first game, they won 24-9 against Atlanta. And then you have to throw that game last Sunday out the window. That was the NFL making an example of the Denver Broncos, and just it was a completely unfair situation there. You don't want to draw any conclusions from that game. That game doesn't count.
I would agree with you there. I am fascinated to see how this pans out, because when there is a quick turnaround of a game, typically the team that lost the first one does well. Like we saw that with Indy and Tennessee, right? They just played again after playing on Thursday night. But I don't know. I think Saints are pretty legit, especially on defense. Now, it's
very
rare
good on defense.
It's rare very that a, such a popular player and an MVP candidate does so well against the spread. LeBron's teams in Cleveland were terrible ATS. You know, the Warriors, peak Warriors, were about 500. Because the public backs them, there's usually just like a tax you have to pay. But Patrick Mahomes has been amazing, even with those taxes. 19-9 as a starter. Just an absolute beast. And so even though people love to bet him, he's still 10 games above 500. That's the best, by the way, of any starting quarterback in NFL, minimum 10. But this is a big number, 14.
Big number. Denver will presumably have an actual quarterback available to them this Sunday. We're going to need Denver huge in this game. I mean, I said this on the show before. If you're a bookmaker, you might want to just settle in to the next 10 to 15 years of rooting against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs every week. And that is not a comfortable position to be in. Let me tell you that, because Kansas City could have beat Tampa Bay by a lot more than they did on Sunday. They took their foot off the gas. And I think the books got a little lucky there that Tampa Bay was able to sneak back within that number. Because to me, it seems like Mahomes can score, get a touchdown whenever he feels like it.
Yeah, that was an amazing backdoor cover. He missed one of his receivers down the slot wide open in the second quarter, I want to say. So that was a lucky avoiding. But by the way, that 19-9 ATS was since the beginning of last season. Overall, as a starter, he's 26-15-1 against the spread. But 4-5 is a double-digit favorite, and that's what he is here against Denver. Mm-hmm. But it'll be interesting to see. They can just name the score. He's such a potent guy. We have a few games I just want to rip off. These backup quarterbacks that are playing, Colt McCoy, Brandon Allen, Mike Glennon, are you going to need them all? Or is there anything
Well, we're definitely going to need Colt McCoy. That's for sure. Yeah, we'll need the other two as well. So probably not as much as we're going to need the Giants pretty big. Anytime Seattle is a team that we seem to be against every week. We'll need the Giants to stay within that number for sure.
By the way, Colt McCoy, 7-21 ATS in his career as a starter, the worst by any QB in the Super Bowl era. So he's facing Russell Wilson.
That's hard to do, man. That's really hard to do when you consider the point spread is the great equalizer. That's not that small of a sample. That's a pretty eye-opening
I think it's an
stat.
Indictment of, like, the teams he was on, because I think he was decent. I remember he had the big upset against the Cowboys as your Washington quarterback. So
I was at that game.
Oh, you were?
That was a Monday night game. I was at that game. Yeah, of course I remember that game. Very fun night.
That eliminated some eliminator pools late in the season. I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
And what about the Bears in Detroit? It's the last game we'll talk about. Coaching change usually means you want to bet on a team, but do you really want to bet on the Lions?
I don't know. Do you really want to bet on the Bears? I mean, until they get – the Bears are an organization that's just going to be running in the mud until they get rid of Matt Nagy and get some new people in there, because I do think there's a lot of talent on that Chicago roster, but that's a game I would stay away from. I don't trust either of those teams whatsoever.
There's just better things to do with your money, for sure.
Kicking is for losers.
I know the leagues. I know the teams. I know these players. I know this wonderful game called football.
Time now to welcome in for the first time a gentleman you've seen on a lot of ESPN platforms but never heard here on the Behind the Bets podcast, a guy I miss in Bristol, Mike Tannenbaum. How are you, my friend?
Great to be with you, Doug, and congratulations with all your success and your new shows and your Vegas studio. And it's funny, you know, I'm on every Sunday morning with Anita Marks. We do a Sunday New York City football show, and she leaves me to go on your show. And it's so I still watch you very carefully, and congratulations with everything.
Well, that's very nice of you to say, and Anita's going to be joining us in a little bit as well. No, it's the booming business of sports betting within the media platform. So I'm just really lucky to ride the wave, so to speak. But I do miss living in Bristol, and part of that is getting to pick the brains of really smart people who've been in the league for and affiliated with the league for quite some time. And that includes you. I know I would always lean on you and bother you at the war room on Sundays and try to pick your brain with a lot of stuff. So I get to do this now on the pod, and I appreciate your lending yourself to that. So I want to talk about a couple games. First things first, with Belichick, and you know, there's a narrative here that he's this, you know, he's the greatest ever. And that in my eyes, he is. And he's facing Anthony Lynn, who's boxed some leads this year. So how much of an edge in a matchup like this, aside from the rosters, does Belichick really have on a game?
Yeah, he does. And, you know, I've had the good fortune of actually working for and with both of those head coaches. And I worked for Coach Belichick twice. And one of the things he does so good, Doug, is he puts all his players in a position where they spend a lot of times in practice in situational football. And it makes a big difference, because going into this game, you would say that the Chargers have a pretty significant edge at quarterback. And it could come down to 2 minute. It could come down to situational football. And I think Anthony Lynn will continue to get better at it. But obviously they've had some pretty significant bumps in the road. I think this will be a close game. By the way, if you go back to that Cardinal Patriot game, you know, it obviously helped that, you know, Arizona missed that field goal, Doug, but Coach Belichick knows how to win close games.
I mean, that's the thing we talk about in the betting world, especially when Belichick, a guy who's just, you know, outperformed the point spread over all these years. I'm just so scared to bet against him. I've done it sparingly a few times and been burned pretty much every time. So it's just one of those things that I like to glean the wisdom from people like yourself in terms of kind of like just how does this manifest itself? And to your point, it's the close games, the 2 minute drills. It's the how prepared they are in those game situations. I want to move to an organization you were affiliated with, the Jets. Look, they're everyone's punchline. I get it. They're winless, blah, blah, blah. We hear about it. But some of these point spreads are getting ridiculous. Like they covered in L.A. against the Chargers in the back door. Now, here the Raiders are coming to town. And you know what it's like for a team to fly across country back-to-back weeks. And they had to do this. They were in Atlanta last week. It's an 8-point game. Like, specifically, what makes the Jets so bad this year and unable to win?
Well, I think it's just a number of things. But let's just go back to the fact that last week was the first week, Doug, that they had Breshad Perriman, Denzel Mims, and Jamison Crowder with Sam Darnold. So I am not defending them. I work with Coach Gase. We went to the playoffs together, actually, in Miami, which seems like a long time ago. But if you look at it through that lens, they actually do have representative skill players, finally. And they were somewhat competitive a week ago with Miami for a while. So 8 points is a lot. Usually, you know, this is your expertise, but home underdogs traditionally do well. But I think it starts with that. And then I think they lack athletes in the secondary. You know, last week you're seeing like Devontae Parker, Jakeem Grant, and they're trying to cover a guy like no one's ever even heard of, the Arthur Moletz of the world, or, you know, the other Lamar Jackson. It's they don't have enough good athletes on the back end, and they don't have a good enough pass rush to cover it up. So that's why they're going to give up a lot of leaky points. But I would think this is going to be a pretty close game. And we saw last week that the Raiders just don't travel well to the East Coast.
Well, that's what I also want to ask you about, because they're 0-11 right now. And Frank Gore has said it, like, we want to win. Like, we're not messing around, things along those lines. And, you know, these locker rooms have the proper mindset. They're at home. And to your point about those wide receiver, the last time their first game together was that Monday night against the Patriots, and they nearly won that game. So it is about not being injured and thin. So now they have some pieces there. And, you know, so I guess you think the Jets are capable of keeping it close given the situation here.
Right. And the first time those three receivers were good, I believe that was with Flacco. So this literally, yes. I believe, you know, Doug, so this is literally the second week, and we're going into December here, where it's the starting quarterback with those three skill players. And I don't think the Raiders, while their secondary is better, I don't think they can match all three of those receivers. So I do think the Jets will keep this game close. I'm not predicting that they're going to, you know, win the game, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was a one-score game late.
Gotcha. I want to talk about these backup quarterbacks, because every week takes on sort of a different narrative or sub-narrative, if you will. And I think it's interesting with these backup QBs now having to go on the road. You have Colt McCoy with the Giants in Seattle, what we think is McCoy playing. Brandon Allen in Cincinnati at Miami. Mike Glennon with Jacksonville at Minnesota. Now, everyone just, you know, the layman out there just thinks, oh, it's disaster, backup quarterback. We don't know these names, but some of them played pretty well last week, and all things considered, now they're going to have a full week in practice, meaning like a guy like McCoy. Based on what you've seen, what you know about the league, which of those backups do you think has the best chance to really keep it close, maybe even win?
Oh, I think it's definitely Colt McCoy and the New York Giants for a number of reasons. First of all, Joe Judge should be in the conversation for Coach of the Year. What a great job he's done. This is a team that consistently gets better. When Daniel Jones stopped turning the ball over, they were winning games. Seattle's defense, while better, you know, they traded for Carlos Dunlap. They added Stax Harrison. They finally got Jamal Adams back, but they're still not nearly where they once were. And Colt McCoy is a good player. And I think the Giants have a couple underrated young skill players. One guy in particular, Darius Slayton, I like. So I think this is a team that could go to Seattle. And going to Seattle in the pandemic, Doug, isn't like usually going to Seattle. So look for the Giants to, you know, possibly beat Seattle in Seattle this week.
That's a great point about the home field advantage, so to speak, not being as drastic and significant without the fans there. But look, it's the NFL. Anything can happen any given Sunday, as we know. And in this case, it would be, you know, any given primetime or whatever it is. But look, Mike, I appreciate the time. I know you're busy, and it's good to hear from you. Good to connect with you, and good to get you here on the podcast.
Oh, Doug, I really appreciate you having me. It's a lot of fun. And again, congratulations with all your success across so many different platforms.
Baby needs a new pair of shoes. Come on.
The perfect drop for my next guest, a friend of the program and someone I'm on basically on TV with every day and who I just love. Anita Marks joins us. Anita, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you, Doug.
So we do the new pair of shoes because, you know, what do you say? Mama needs a new pair of shoes sometimes on air.
Mama loves a new pair of shoes. I always tell people this. Listen, you could go out, you could buy a $5 dress, but you put on a $500 pair of shoes, it's going to make that $5 dress look like $1 million bucks. Shoes make all the difference. So anytime I get done with a weekend and I'm on top, it's the first thing I do is buy a new pair of shoes.
Well, I was about to say, the clothes just feel better too when they're paid for by winning bets. That's the next thing.
That's true.
Funny. A pro bettor told me this a while ago. He's like, you know, sometimes we get desensitized with poker chips. The poker players talk about it all the time. You just kind of lose. You almost train yourself to forget the value of the dollar just because you're trying to play the hand and not necessarily the money. But it's good to go remind yourself of the value of the dollar sometimes by just going to buy something that's like a little bit extravagant, like not food per se, something that you don't like need every day. Then you start to appreciate like a win or a loss a little bit more. So that's, it's a sidebar there, but maybe a new pair of shoes, a new pair of shoes. That's what you have to buy.
Let's try to hopefully help people win some shoes this weekend.
All right, let's do that. And I want to start with the prop queen here on some big games. And look, you always have a joke on the show, the Cheesecake Factory menu list of props you like, but that's the game within the game. And it is fun to dive deep, but this Browns Titans game is really interesting because obviously Derrick Henry is a stud who's led the NFL in rushing, but the Browns rushing attack has been a big component of their recent success. And Chubb here is 84.5, and you like the over. Why?
I do like the over. You know, listen, not to take anything away from Kareem Hunt, but it's evident Chubb is the better back in that backfield. The Browns lead the NFL in carries of 10 yards or more, and 65% of his yardage is from those plays. He's creating missed tackles on 25% of his touches. I mean, listen, you know, he meets the eye test. When you watch him carry the ball, Doug, you just see the difference. In the fourth quarter, he's been an absolute beast. And I think a big reason for that is because of the time that Kareem Hunt gets in the fourth quarter, Chubb's legs are fresh and ready to go. Meanwhile, the opposing defenses are tired. He's averaging 12.6 yards per carry and has 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter game since he's come back. Tennessee is allowing over 4 yards per carry. Now, the only concern going into this game now is that if Cleveland is behind and they have to pass the ball, Hunt is the more receiving type of back.
Right.
But I think this game is going to be competitive. I don't see Tennessee coming out and blowing the doors off of anyone. Cleveland gets Myles Garrett back this week. So I really like Chubb. I mean, like 100-yard games is his wheelhouse now. And at 84.5, I'm going to take the over.
Yeah, he's such a workhorse. Now, he missed some time, obviously, but when he's in there, and he was great last week, obviously trying to ice out the game as well. But now this Patriots-Chargers game, I'm just so scared because it's Belichick, but then the Patriots offense just looked putrid last week, and it's Cam Newton just hasn't been vintage Cam for obvious reasons this year. It's just tough to back the Chargers in this coaching matchup. But I like your angle with the props. You have two that you like with Cam and Eckler. Take me through those.
Yeah, so first and foremost, Cam Newton, listen, let's be honest. You know, he's not blowing the doors off of anyone in his passing game. 2 touchdowns, 7-interception ratio. They lose the left tackle, Isaiah Wynn, and Joey Bosa is back on the opposite side for the Chargers. So I really think Cam Newton's going to be running for his life this week. And the Chargers defense, they allowed over 140 rushing yards to the Bills last week. Josh Allen alone put up nearly 60. He rushed 9 times for 59 yards. So Josh Allen can do it. I think Cam Newton can do it as well.
All right. So you like him there. And then Eckler as well.
Yeah. So last week was Eckler's first week back. And so I played Eckler, but I wasn't expecting more, especially in fantasy. I wasn't expecting more than like a flex play, but dude played 75% of the offensive snaps, 25 touches, almost 130 total yards, got 16 targets. 16. So now we're seeing a rookie in Herbert go up against Bill Belichick. We know what Bill likes to do, right? He likes to take a player out of the equation. I think that player is going to be Keenan Allen. And okay. I think it's going to open up things for Eckler. So I love Eckler over in both rushing and receipt. So total yards, over total yards for Eckler. I think volume alone, I think he's going to get a lot of targets. Also keep in mind, Stephon Gilmore more than likely is going to get the assignment with Keenan Allen. So I just think volume alone, I love Eckler, and I'm not going to shy away from it because, boy, was he just thrown right into the fire last week.
Yeah, last week, first game back was not held back, so why would he be moving forward? And to your point, some of these numbers aren't put up. We've mentioned Chubb, but obviously when we tape this, some of the numbers, but you're anticipating above-market performance because of some of the stuff you've outlined. One final one to get to, that's Monday. Ravens game got moved given with the game this past week to Wednesday. So Cowboys at Baltimore. I mean, Ravens obviously super banged up. It looks like RG3 will not be playing in that game. Last check, I could be wrong there, but I want to go to you're on a prop for the Dallas side of things, who obviously they have a bunch of moving parts at quarterback as well.
Yeah, I'm going under receiving yards for Amari Cooper. And this, I don't think, is going to be the popular play here because ever since Andy Dalton has taken over at quarterback, he's been the premier wide receiver. But Andy Dalton, he loses Zach Martin and Cameron Irving at his right and left tackle. Under pressure, he's only averaging 4 yards per pass attempt. And the Ravens, 50% of the time, they have the fourth highest blitzing rate in the NFL. So I think Andy Dalton is going to be under duress the majority of the day. Only one wide receiver has posted over 75 receiving yards against the Ravens in the last 8 weeks. And that matchup with Amari Cooper is going to be against Marcus Peters on the outside. So I like the under in receiving yards for Amari Cooper. I think it's going to be a long day for that Dallas Cowboys offense.
That's what I was going to ask you about Marcus Peters, and you think he's going to be matched up with Cooper. So that makes a ton of sense. Peters is obviously had some big plays, tried to do some pass breakups. He had caused a couple fumbles yesterday out of bounds, so he was all over the place on that one. And you were all over the place too, Anita. You're everywhere. And we had Mike Tannenbaum earlier. He gave out the secret sauce to our Sunday morning show. He says, I do her show in New York, and then she steps out to do some TV hits for you guys and then back. And it is crazy how you bounce around on all those Sunday mornings.
It's fun. Sunday is a lot of fun, I tell you. I do so much prep, not only for our show, Daily Wager, but for my radio show here in New York. So by the time the 1 o'clock games kick off, man, I am so in the know. I've done so much research. And I have so many, like you said, I've got that Cheesecake Factory list of prop bets because of all the research I do. So it just it makes my Sundays all that much more enjoyable.
Yeah, once kickoff arrives, it's the easy part, right? It's the easy part, watching the games and just enjoying them, kick your feet up, because like you said, you're so locked in. But thank you, Anita. It's always fun. We're trying to get in more voices and more personalities, and you're the first person I thought of when we wanted to tweak some things. So I thank you for sharing your wisdom and your fun with our listeners.
Fantastic. Good luck.
It's time for Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
All right, time now to recap the Bonanza. I locked in Seattle -5.5. Was very well done, 3K. So we did well there. Thought about playing it back at halftime. Had one of those funny feelings. Would have middled, but that's okay. And then, like we said earlier, we washed ahead of time the Steelers bet. It's just canceled. It's a no worries there. But you did well with the Prince of Pops. He started out tough, down, and then bounced back, and then Washington got the outright win. So we're both now in the black. You are +1950. and I am plus 3125. Murray, why don't you lead us off?
I'm only going to do one play so far, DK. I might give you something later in the week. I'll tag you. I'll tag Darren. But for now, I'm going to go with Eagles plus 9. I see our friends at the South Point have a 9 out there. I'll take Philadelphia plus 9 at Green Bay for 550 to win 500. If I want to do anything else, I'll be sure to contact you on Twitter.
Okay, I'm going to do a teaser, one of the ones we talked about. I'm going to go against you. There's a way we both win. I'm going to take the 8.5. I'm going to lay that down to 2.5 with Green Bay and do the Raiders minus 2. I do think it's a good spot. The Raiders obviously trying to rally around sort of that horrendous effort. They talked about in a bad week of practice, which we'll hear the guys now responding, wanting to get back on track this week.
We have a better group for sure than what we put on tape today, but our fans deserve better than what we did today. Our organization deserves better than what we put out there today. That was a bunch of trash.
I mean, anytime you can tease through 3-7, those key numbers, as long as you're not killing yourself with juice, if you can get through 3-7, you should look to do that. You will do pretty well in the NFL long-term doing that.
All right, my man. Good to be back. Good that the Prince of Props was victorious for you. And let's keep it moving into next week.
Did you let us know how much that teaser was for, or was I just not paying attention?
That's a very good point. My apologies. For a dime.
For a dime. All right, yeah, we will talk next week. Maybe I'll even ask the Prince for some help on Monday or Tuesday of this coming week. There's three primetime games this weekend. I'll be in touch with him, and I'll be in touch with you.
Yeah, I feel like I'll get involved, too, over the Twitter. All right, thanks, bud. Be well.
I'm going 12 for 12 this weekend, and that includes the Monday night parlay.
Okay, so Murray and I both in the black. We have some plays this weekend, and it's good, though. By the end of the season, we want to be in the black and trending in the right direction. And special thanks to him, but really special thanks to Mike Tannenbaum and Anita Marks. Good to have them. And you can imagine at home, it's tough to kind of get schedules and coordinate it all. So really appreciate their efforts. And, of course, Christina here, the producer of this podcast. So a lot of people behind the scenes. I just want to remind everyone how much effort is there and just the wisdom and time to incorporate it all. It's I'm really appreciative. So let's keep it moving here. No UFC this week. And next week we'll do more college and NFL moving forward. So thanks to everyone for downloading, rating, and reviewing and all that fun stuff. Have a great weekend.